WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I've met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree, and this is Nikki, and we're the Valor Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are.
And it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can love, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Had I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell...
Ow!
What the game is playing.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RockRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you. Any way we can get you. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. We have music that has lyrics, so...
It's weird.
It's weird, but it was on the... Hey, it was on the YouTube audio library.
Is it free?
Yeah, it's like it's in the YouTube studio.
Ew, look at that.
So it's like, we have all night, we have music with lyrics. Like, alright, someone put a lyrical music on the thing. Like, and it's catchy.
I mean, yeah, it's a good song.
At Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Lindsay Ward, on the WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, Twitch.tv/WTLive. By the way, if you have Amazon Prime, link to Twitch accounts called Prime Games, support the channel by clicking that purple rectangle right below the screen. You can use creator code RockSock for Lindsay Ward in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store because we're hashtag Epic Partners. Buy your Coachella skins now. And apparently on Saturday, you can go buy Wu-Tang.
Dang.
Because Wu-Tang... Fortnite.
It's a thing in 2022.
Oh, also,
there's, you know what? There's lots of retro stuff coming back in 2022.
Also,
I'm just pointing that out.
Also, Moon Knight skin. If you're
yeah, the Moon Knight stuff's out.
If you're into Moon Knight, Moon Knight's in the shop too. Like, okay, it's Fortnite.
Ding!
That's the best way to put it. It's Fortnite.
It's a thing. It's there. Okay, all right. I don't know what I just witnessed, but we're going to talk about it here in a little bit, referring to NXT. That would be the retro things that I'm discussing. But first, we need to get into the news. Brought to our friends over at MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. What do you say?
Let's get into stuff.
So thankfully, we don't have a ton of news, but we do have stuff to talk about. So we have to talk about the biggest news of the week, which is that Tony Khan had yet another announcement that he made. And that is that he's going to hold a crossover event between AEW and New Japan Pro Wrestling in Chicago on June 26th, and is going to be titled the most overused phrase in all of professional wrestling, Forbidden Door.
This is how it goes. Moments ago on AEW Dynamite, live on TBS, the hinges were fully ripped off the Forbidden Door. As it was announced that AEW New Japan Pro Wrestling will present the first ever joint pay-per-view special this summer, AEW NJPW Forbidden Door, which will take place live Sunday, June 26th at the United Center in Chicago, featuring marquee matchups between members of AEW and NJPW's world-class rosters. Tickets for the historical pay-per-view go on sale Friday, May 6th at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Central at AEWTix.com and Ticketmaster.com. Ticketmaster.com. Fans in the United States and Canada can watch the pay-per-view via purchase on the Bleacher Report app or via their local cable and satellite provider. The program will be available in both English and Spanish. Why not Japanese? But it'll be also on NewJapanWorld.com. As the world continues to open on making sure the Forbidden Door follows suit and we can finally give fans the dream matches they've always imagined, said Tony Khan, CEO, GM, and head of creative of AEW. The United Center was home to one of AEW's biggest events of all time, the First Dance, where CM Punk made his return to wrestling after a 7-year hiatus. This summer, fans of AEW New Japan Pro Wrestling can expect the unexpected during the extraordinary first-of-its-kind pay-per-view between our two incredible companies.
I would like to applaud the person that wrote that.
No, these are quotes. That was a quote from Tony Khan.
That was a quote?
That was a quote.
I mean, the man has a way with words. I will give credit where credit is due. This is a big deal. This is a huge deal. I don't want to sit here and mock it and that kind of thing. It doesn't necessarily interest me because I'm not into New Japan and I'm not really into AEW, but I know there are a lot of people that are very excited for this. I know that this is a very, very cool thing, the fact that we're going to have New Japan come over, and they have a lot of really amazing stars there. I think the biggest hope is that Okada will come over. But I think I heard somewhere that he's doubtful because that's his wife's birthday.
Yeah, that's what it was reported earlier, yeah.
So we will see if Okada comes over, because that would be the indication that they're probably going to bring back Kenny Omega. But
if Kenny's healthy, because that's the thing. Kenny is not healthy at the moment. He just went undergo surgeries for a knee and a shoulder, and he has a hernia thing. And so who knows with Kenny?
Who knows with Kenny, but hopefully he's at least in some form of shape to be able to be there. But yeah, this is exciting. This is huge. This is another step in terms of, as they say, the world opening and being able to have talent come over from Japan and work in the U.S. again. Because, companies outside the United States have been somewhat limited in being able to get over here and work because of COVID, because of the restrictions, because of quarantine and everything else. So this is awesome. And everybody should be excited for it, and everybody should go if they want to go, and go buy tickets and go have fun and go enjoy it. It's not my thing, although it depends.
There's a match he wants to see.
There is a match I want to see. I don't know if it would be good or not, but there is a match that I do want to see, that I would be curious about anyway. But they haven't booked it at all yet. It would be probably Kenta versus CM Punk.
That's the one that would drive her to the box office.
Or at least the Magic Fairy sites. I'm not paying $50 to watch that match.
I know. It was just the thing. Anyway, it's cool. It's whatever. We'll talk. I have a rant about it later, but yeah, it's for that audience. It's a big to do. It's not a game changer.
It is and it isn't. It's a game changer for the niche audience, for the really, really hardcore fans, and that's who this for is for. He's indicated that this is for the very hardcore fans. I don't know how that will equate in terms of ticket sales and pay-per-view buys and that kind of thing. I hope it's successful for him. I hope it works out for him. But in terms of your more casual fans who are maybe not as into New Japan or not aware of New Japan, because yes, those fans exist, then they may not be as excited about this or may not want to watch this, because as we've seen with things with like Battle of the Belts, where we're seeing more and more of the ROH titles get defended, people are maybe not as interested in that based on just some of the ratings information that we're seeing. So this is a little risky to do. I will fully call that out. I think he will have an audience for it because obviously people will buy tickets and go, but I don't know if they'll be able to sell out the United Center. We'll see. Chicago's a good market to do it in, even though they run Chicago.
They're kind of running it down. They're running it to death, but we'll see. We'll see what they can do, and we'll see if they move other things around later in the year so they don't keep running Chicago, but we'll see.
I mean, I'm honestly kind of surprised that they didn't try to do it somewhere on the West Coast just to make it a little bit easier trip for the folks coming over from Japan, because that's a long flight.
Because AEW is already running the West Coast for the first time at the end of May, so they can't.
They ran Chicago twice or three times.
I know, but I think they can guarantee themselves an audience by going to Chicago.
Well, let's hope.
At least that's what they believe. They believe, and they're going to the big building too, not a smaller building. They're going to the big building. So
we'll see.
They're banking on people going, oh my God, this is historic, and wanting to travel there at the right before 4th of July. It's tough.
Like I said, it is a risk. It's a big risk, and hopefully it pays off for them. And like I said, go buy your tickets. Go enjoy. Go have a good time. Go watch some professional wrestling, because it will be a good show. It will be an entertaining show, and you'll get to see a lot of things that you've probably never seen before and you may never see again. That's the thing. You're going to get a lot of one-time matchups, potentially, at least here in the States. So it would be worth the time to go. If you're interested in that kind of thing.
If it's something that interests you, yeah, go buy tickets starting May 6th at Ticketmaster.com and AEWTix.com.
Ding! Unfortunately, one person who will not be there is Jack Evans, as he announced that he is leaving AEW. His contract expires at the end of the month, and it has not been renewed by the company, so best of luck to Jack as he moves forward. He's all positivity.
Yep, but that's called, hey, we used you for what we needed to. Here we go.
Bye! Speaking of departures, this was a little bit of shock, but not really. Kushida has left WWE. His contract has expired with the company. There is no word on what he's going to do or where he's going. It is assumed that he's going to go back to New Japan.
That's the assumption, yeah. So he could be a part of Forbidden Door.
When is it, June?
There's no, if his contract's up, he has no.
Oh yeah, that's right. He has no.
Also,
no-compete.
If he had a no compete, he's NXT, so they're 30, not 90.
Yeah, they're 30. Okay, yeah. So he could be there.
Yeah.
You don't know. But yeah, so his contract has expired. He is free to go wherever he likes, whenever he wants. And exciting news for some folks, especially for me, Table for Three is making its return to WWE. They're going to put it up on Peacock, so we should have new, fresh episodes of that. I always liked that show. I thought it was good.
There's a new episode tomorrow on Peacock featuring Kurt Angle, Chad Gable, and Otis, the Angle Academy. They taped this over WrestleMania weekend.
Oh God, please have Dom one with Taker. Please, God.
Okay, who would be Taker and who? Taker, Michelle, and Kane?
No, not Michelle. Taker, Kane.
You always have to have the oddball in there, so Taker and Michelle being a thing would be amusing.
No, because he'd have to be on his best behavior. They both would have to be. Who would be the oddball for them? I'm trying to think. Who could you throw in there for them that would be like the oddball? That would be weird. Like the Miz.
Miz. Current day Miz. Or put Randy with him. That'd be fine.
You put Randy with him. That would be good. Matt Riddle.
Bro.
I don't know. I just like it because they sit there and they just tell stories and they shoot shit and they just have a good time. Oh, you could put Rollins with him.
You could put Rollins with him, yeah.
That would actually be really good.
Yeah. So that debuts tomorrow on Peacock.
Ding! And speaking of debuts, making its debut in WWE 2K22 is, among other things, the NXT 2.0 look and feel and arena, because y'all, 2K delivered. They dropped a patch.
A big patch. A big content patch. Yeah, so they updated the NXT arena to NXT 2.0 with broadcasting packages in-game. For MyGM fans, they have added the tag team titles for both the women and the men, so they've expanded on MyGM, which no one thought they would. They got there. It's available in normal and hard difficulty. And if you go in and go and you book a tag match and you don't add the people and you go, why can't I change it to tag titles? You first put the people in and then it will give you the option to put the titles online. Normal matches show you the title right away. This one, you have to put the people in first for it to pop up and appear so you can do it. So there's that. They've updated hair again, some realistic eyes. They've improved general improvements, including from with the AI and entrance. You can now have entrances online, which got people excited. They've added, there's going to be the DLC content coming up. So that's going to be added in.
And it looks good, too.
It looks really good. They've improved some sound effects. They've gotten rid of outdated references and commentary. They've updated commentary references to reflect real-world changes, whatever that means. They added more sounds to championship belt intro wipes, so cool. And they've added a whole bunch of other things. You can go to WWE 2K's website to find out the entire patch notes. And even everything in the patch notes doesn't tell you exactly everything in there. Just go play and find out. They made improvements to the universe. They dropped the whole content. The biggest surprise was NXT 2.0 being added this quickly.
Well, it's like you and I talked about. I firmly believe that the way that this whole thing went down was there was a cutoff for the game, right? Like, 2K had to come to WWE and be like, all right, look, for us to get this into production and out for the general market by the date that we set, because it had already been pushed by this point, we're going to have to cut it off. So whatever the product is at this date, we don't know what that was, that's what's going in the game. So that's what happened. And then WWE decided, I think after that date or right around that date, it was pretty much too quick for 2K to make the change, that they were going to revamp NXT and they were going to make additional roster changes and they were going to do a bunch of stuff. And so 2K probably went back to WWE and said, okay, look, we can't put it in the game on launch, but we can go ahead and start working on it and get it ready to go so we can do a DLC later on down the line or a patch down the line after the game comes out. And I think that's what happened. Was they just, there was just stuff they couldn't get in the game in time for it to launch. And so it's like, we'll fix it later. And it was one of the most noted things, because I know I talked about it in my review and we talked about it on the review in the show, of just the fact that NXT was not 2.0. It did make the game feel a little dated. And more than us called that out.
Yeah, everyone called it out. Yeah. And it probably was one of the more popular arenas to download. Was 2.0, and they're just makeshift arenas. This is now the full-blown, you have the full-blown graphics and everything. So it looks and presents like it should.
Yeah, so this is wonderful that they did that. I know people were really jazzed up for it. They're very excited for it. And it's cool that 2K came through, and they put that out there, and they're like, here you go, here's the NXT 2.0 arena. I'm not sure about the commentary. I feel like there was something in there that they had to take out that maybe reflected badly on current world events, but I don't know.
I think it probably outdated references for the company and moments that happen, maybe involving certain people.
I don't know. I think they're taking stuff out as they go and making corrections as they go. But I also like that they did the hair and the eyes, because I know that was another concern, was that some of the hair stuff was, especially on the creator wrestler portion, was just so-so.
Yeah, they're keeping adjusting it. Like a couple patches ago, they did a major update to it, so they're going to continue to work on it, which is good.
Yeah, I think the other part of it, too, was 2K was like, okay, here's the game we're going to put out. We're going to see how it performs. And then, like, if WWE's happy and they continue on, then we're going to go ahead and do the full support mode, which is what they're doing now. And then if they're like, yeah, no, we're not going to continue on with you guys, then it's like, oh, well, you know, we tried. I feel like...
We tried.
Like, I feel like that's kind of how that went, too. Like, they're still going to support it, and they're still going to do everything that they promised to do. But, yeah, it's like, we're not going to do the things like do the content update on the hair and the eyes, because it's like somebody else is going to take care of that. So we don't necessarily have to. But they definitely did listen to feedback. You could tell that they paid attention to social media, that they paid attention to the reviews, that they basically looked at everything and said, okay, all right, these are the most called out changes that need to be made first. Let's go ahead and take care of those. And then we'll continue on to just monitor things and see how it goes. Like, they are very, you can tell they're very on this.
This will explain everything to you. We're on patch 1.09 already, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're how long ago to come out? March?
Yeah, like a month ago.
March 12th, 2020 was 1.08 for 2K20. And that game came out in October.
Yeah, they're on this. They're on supporting it. Yeah. Yeah. There is no, we're going to take our time. It's the people are unhappy with it. We need to fix this now. Because...
it's not people who are unhappy. They're seeing improvements they need to make. They're going in and correcting things and updating things because they want to make this game polished as possible. So it's like, instead of like, it took weeks to get it patched through last time, this is right off the bat. I think it started 0.2, I think, when we got it. So we've got like a few updates since in 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So it's a lot more than they did in 5 months of the first game, of the last game.
Yeah, they were patching it before it ever even came out. Like, when we got the review copies of it, they were like, okay, so here's the review copy, and you're going to have to download a patch for it, because reasons, and enjoy.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, okay, cool.
You have to wait for the day one patch, and all these things, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, oh, all right, cool, thanks. Thank you for the heads up, I appreciate that. But no, 2K was really cool, and we thank you again. Thank them again for the review copies, we would like to work with you again. If you would like us to. But yeah, I appreciate it. I fully appreciate the support and them doing what they're doing for the game and with the game, and the better state that they have this game in right now, it means a better state that they can work on the next one.
Mm-hmm.
So, yay! And last but certainly not least, in a whirlwind getaway wedding,
that's science of it.
Scarlett Bordeaux and Killer Cross have officially said their I do's. They eloped to Alaska. They got married on a glacier. I full on respect her for being in a sleeveless wedding dress, and her dress was gorgeous, by the way, on a glacier where you know it's cold. Poor thing. But they're up there saying their I do's. They had their reception. It was a very small, very intimate, very private affair. They both looked wonderful. He was wearing a red burgundy sort of like almost smoking jacket, and he had a cravat that was black. And then she wore this beautiful white ball gown dress that wasn't like a poofy ball gown. It was more like a simplified ball gown, but it was a very, very lovely dress on her. She looks stunning, and they look very, very happy. The pictures are gorgeous. I was looking at the pictures this week, and it was like, oh my god, that's amazing. So yeah, congratulations to the two of them, and many, many happy years to come for them.
Indeed.
So NXT.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
So I have a question.
Uh-huh.
Why the hell is the Ministry of Darkness having a comeback in 2022? Why is that happening? Because I thought it was just on Raw. Oh no! No, no! No, 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 no! No! You want to know where else it's showing up? NXT! This got weird! This show! Like, I appreciate it. I respect it. But it got weird, y'all.
It did. You want to talk about it?
Dollar Store Bray Wyatt, what are you doing? We had him taunting Bron Breakker throughout the show because Bron was looking for him. Because, you know, Dollar Store Bray Wyatt, I'm not calling him by his real name, by the way, that is his name, kidnapped, you know, Bron's dad, Rick Steiner, tied him up and locked him in a cage and taunted Bron, and then he stole the Hall of Fame ring, and then he threw the ring in some fire, and we saw this week that the ring and his hand are fine. But, you know, Bron's pissed. Bron wants the ring back. Bron wants to fight Dollar Store Bray Wyatt. Very simple story. So, we have Bron arrive. He's in the ring. He calls out Dollar Store Bray Wyatt, and he gets taunted by the video screens. And that sends Bron on the chase.
Wait. The video screens? You mean the 17 billion faces of Joe Gacy?
That's not his name.
The 17 billion faces of Joe Gacy? Yes. One of us will give the correct information.
By the way, I like when he debuted that I was like, yes, that's my asshole right there.
Yep, you saw his face and knew it right away.
It's like, yep, that's going to be my asshole right there, and now I'm bitter about it.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, the 17 billion faces of Dollar Store Bray Wyatt. And that sent Bron Breakker on the chase. He gets backstage.
It's a casual chase, too, by the way.
Yeah, it's a slow chase. It's kind of a saunter, really. Like, he's just sort of sauntering around looking for him. And Bron happens upon the cage that they had Rick in. And there's rope on the floor, and it's just sitting open. And there's an iPad on the stool that they had Rick on. And I'm sitting here, and I'm watching this, and I'm like, don't go in the cage. Don't go in the cage. Don't go in the cage. What does Bron do? He goes in the cage.
So I should mention that they were that what was playing was the promo of Rick Steiner talking, and then the Joe Gacy stuff from the previous week.
And Bron broke the iPad. He had a man.
He did. wonder whose iPad he broke.
I don't know. It was probably, you know, just a spare. Like, I sometimes weep at the amount of, like, tech stuff and cars and food that they go to through. Like, their budget must be insane for all the stuff that they break.
Yeah.
Like, it was kind of ridiculous. But Braun storms off, still searching. He goes upstairs.
Casually.
He happens upon the hidey hole.
Mm-hmm.
Walks in, and it's a room full of, you know, it's a room full of mirrors, but it's not the good mirrors. It's like, you know, the bedroom mirror that you had in college? Like the full length mirror that you put on the back of your door, you put it on your closet door, you just had it in your room that is like really cheap. You know that?
Mm-hmm.
There's a room full of them, but lurking in them is Dollar Store Bray Wyatt.
Well, more faces.
More faces, and he's taunting Braun Breaker, and Braun sees his face and turns around and he's not there.
He's not there.
Which
anymore.
Honestly, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, he's not there anymore.
He's gone. He vanished. But he's laughing. He's mocking Braun. Honestly, that is one of my favorite things that they do. That Taker used to do is he'd like show up in the mirror and then you'd turn around and he'd be gone. It's like, I think that's such a cute, like, just a cheeky little thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so easy to do. It's such a great little, like, practical effect. And they know how to, like, shoot that really, really well.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's super fucking effective. It's like, okay, all right, that's good. And then we reach the conclusion of the night's events.
Yes.
So Dollar Store Bray Wyatt is out amongst the crowd. He's in the dark. He has the ring. And he starts pontificating, as one likes to do. And he's looking crazed, as he likes to do. And Braun Breaker shows up. And he's like, okay, all right, I'll give you the ring back. It's fine. You know, here you go. You know, let me just slip the ring in your pocket. There you go. He passes the ring in his pocket. And he's like, see, it's fine. It's fine. Everything's cool. Oh, wait, let me push you. Shoves. And he pushes Braun Breaker.
Couldn't stop you. He gave him back the ring for an NXT title match. Continue.
And he got it.
Yep.
Shoves Braun Breaker off the little, like, ledge thing that they had there, like the balcony that they used to have.
The crow's nest. It's
the crow's nest. It's still there, just without the handrail. And so he pushes Braun Breaker off. Braun Breaker lands on the floor. He's in pain. Ow, my back. And kneeling beside him are Druids.
Yeah.
This is where it gets weird, y'all. And I just don't even know what to do with this information. So, Gacy is just laughing, right? He's just laughing, looking crazed. And these druids, like six of them, surround Breaker. And they pull their robes out to, like, cover him. So he's just, like, covered with, like, black. Like, this black velour velvet cloth. And then, okay, y'all ever watch Texas A&M?
No.
Okay, so there's a thing that Texas A&M does where they all, like, wrap their arms around each other in, like, a line, and they start swaying.
Oh, okay, I know what you're talking about. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that. They did that. Tell me it's not a cult. They did that, and that's how we close the show, with Dollar Store Bray Wyatt.
Joe Gacy.
Laughing and glaring down and looking maniacal as Braun Breaker is consumed by his druids. Like, what did I watch? That wasn't even, like, this was the weirdest thing that happened on this show, but this was not the only weird thing that happened on this show. But, like, I just, one, where was Harland in all of this? Two, again, I ask my question. Why is the Ministry of Darkness making a resurgence in 2022? Like, Edge brought it back.
Did Mark Calloway join the creative teams?
Like, good lord, Taker retired in, like, last year. He just went in the Hall of Fame. This cannot be a coincidence. It just can't.
I mean, maybe. Maybe it's a coincidence. Maybe it's not. I don't know. But it was
weird. Little goodbye to The Undertaker. We're just going to take all of his old gimmicks that he hated and put them back on TV. That's the rib.
That's the rib on him, yeah. Possibly.
I don't know.
So that all happened.
I don't even know what to do with it. It was just so sitting. I was like, what the hell did I just watch? Hey, don't get me wrong. I'm here for weird. Okay? I can do weird. I loved Bray Wyatt for years. Who, by the way, is getting weird on Twitter. I don't know what he's doing, but he's getting weird too. So, like, weird doesn't bother me, but this was just like, what?
Is that what the fuck?
Like, he's like one rocking chair away from being Bray. Seriously. All he needs is like a damn Hawaiian shirt and a rocking chair, and he's Bray. Like, the video screen stuff, the room full of mirrors, like, all of that is stuff that I think Bray did at one point. I know the video screen stuff was, because I think he did it against Randy.
Randy, Roman.
Cena. I think it was Cena. But yeah,
Cena, like, he had to just to have the kids.
And I know that, like, they're going to recycle ideas, and they're going to recycle things, and it's going to be fine, but, like, just the similarity is just almost too much. Like, it's not coincidental. They're basically taking old gimmicks, and they're breaking them apart, and they're recycling them, and they're giving them to people. And granted, Dollar Store Bray Wyatt does a good job with it, and he's slowly making it his own, and he's slowly doing his own thing. But the similarities are still 1,000% there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's not quite hit the Fiend level yet. He's not the Swamp Bray Wyatt. He's kind of like that tweener between not quite Funhouse, but not Swamp Leader. Mm-hmm. It's kind of in a tweener place. It's basically like a cleanup version.
A little bit.
But he's getting more and more, like, maniacal. And he's doing a good job with it.
Yeah.
So, there's that. And then we had Hitman.
Just want to go right for the Hitman?
I just want to go right for the Hitman. No, we're going to hit the high points of the show, because these were the high points of this show.
They were the high points, yes.
So, Tony D'Angelo is feuding with Santos Escobar. They don't like each other. Santos has his crew. Tony has his crew. Tony has Hitman. So, Santos is in the middle of the match.
With Carmelo Hayes.
With Carmelo Hayes, it was a really good match. I think it's a contenders match for the North American Championship.
It wasn't a contenders match, but basically is a contenders match.
It's like close enough. Mm-hmm. You know. But like, so in the middle of the match, these two dudes in black suits with red ties roll up with a tire iron and just take out Santos Escobar. Chuck him in the ring, and he loses to Carmelo Hayes. Because I was sitting here, and Rock was like on the phone with me when I was watching. I was like, wait. Who are those guys?
Yeah.
Where do they come from? Who do they belong to? And then it's, oh, those are Tony D'Angelo's hitmen. That makes complete sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then later, Santos and crew are leaving. And wouldn't you know it, well, they got a little message. Their car had been booted. And there's a rather large, very dead fish on the hood of their car. Basically indicating that they're going to swim with the fishes.
Yep.
I mean, I'm here for mafia bullshit. Like, I'm here for this.
Yeah, see where it goes.
We'll see where it goes. Like, honestly, I think the best thing they could do for Tony D'Angelo is to give him a crew. To let him have, like, a group.
Yeah, it made sense
to be with.
It was odd he didn't.
Like, if you're going to do the mafia mobster, especially the Italian mobster, he needs to have that crew, or he needs to have the references that they gave him last night, which is he has guys that will roll up and take people out for him, in quotations. Like, he has people that take care of things for him, because he's basically supposed to be, like, the godfather.
The Don.
Mm-hmm. So he needs that support network, and him just being on his own and doing everything himself, well, that doesn't make sense. He needs to have other people that will do it for him. So I really do like that they did this and they're going there with it. Do I think it's a long-term thing? Not fully, but it's a good... Didn't I say sleep with the fishes?
Yeah, or it's close enough. Yeah, that's what she was referring to.
That's what I was referring to. But I think every once in a while, it's really, really good, especially because it's not happening in his matches. It's happening in other circumstances where it's like the people that he's going after, they're doing something else. And Tony D'Angelo just sends his people
mm-hmm.
and they just take care of it.
Yeah.
And then he also had an interview segment, which was fine. But I like how that they were kind of like, hey, what's up with this? And he's like, eh?
Yeah.
Eh?
Eh?
I took care of it.
It's all handled.
It's all fine.
All right. Circling back to the Carmelo Hayes match, Melo and Trick were talking after the match, and he's going to regain the title at Spring Break-In. Cameron came out. They confronted each other. Soa Sioka came out, and he attacked Trick and Melo. And then him and Grimes shared a nod, and like, okay, we see where that goes. So there was that on the show. Legato defeated Drake and Gibson, no longer grizzled young veterans, just Drake and Gibson, or Gibson and Drake, however you want to call it. So there's that happened on the show. And then on .com, it seems like Drake and Gibson are no longer work, are going to break up, or they're getting new names?
They're probably getting new names.
Even though they got rid of their first names, they're probably getting new names.
Because that's the trend now, is that pretty much everybody that is using their real names, they are getting renamed, because there has been an edict issued that you will no longer be allowed to use your real name again. So we have to be able to copyright it. So no more real names.
Copyright, market it, and sort of sell it off.
The interesting one will be Kevin Owens.
But that's not his real name.
Yes.
He's fine.
I might still try to change it.
No, he's fine. He's fine. Let's see. Tiffany Strand defeated Saray. The most notable thing is Tiffany looked better. You also saw all of her ass.
Pretty much, yeah.
just putting that out there. That was a thing. But the match was fine. Grayson Waller defeated Sangha. So they're apart now.
Yeah, I was sitting here and I was talking to Rock and I was like, wait, when did they break up? And he was like, they did it on .com. I was like, ah.
Yeah, yeah, they broke up. Yeah.
Because I was sitting here and I was like, well, the last time I saw them, they were fine. And then now Waller's getting chased backstage and trying not to die. And I was very confused.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do things on .com.
There's only so many hours on television they can have to do things on .com. Wesley lost to Zion Quinn. He didn't want to talk about things that have been happening in his life. So, you know, there's that. Natalya defeated Tatum Paxley. A little showcase for Natty. She got into it with, what's her name? Nikita Lyons backstage, and they had a nice interaction. She said she'll put Nikita in the sharpshooter like she put Jade in it last week. Nikita said, no worries, I'm flexible. And they got a ooh from the crowd.
I would be very curious to see Nikita Lyons versus Natty.
Mm-hmm.
That would be an interesting mix.
We had a promo package hyping up Rox and Perez, former Roxy of RH. And her debut was supposed to be next week. Toxic Attraction kind of taunted her and, well, got her into a match this week instead of next week, and she took on JC Jane, picked up the win. You had a distraction backstage from Wendy Chu, who messed around with the lounge of Toxic Attraction.
I liked how they did the debut for her, where they had the little girl playing the video games, and she's growing up playing, like, in the promo playing video games.
She's a gamer girl.
She's a gamer girl, so I really, really liked how they did that. And the debut was fine. The match was fine. It all looked good.
Like, she used to create herself in a video game, and now you take video game her and make her real.
You know, if they were smart, as a marketing opportunity, you drop her in the game, in the DLC coming.
I mean, that would be a smart thing, but I think it's a little too soon for that.
Just a stay at tab, but, yeah. You know, if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm. The pretty deadly, they opened the show, and they were interrupted a bunch, but they were also backstage, and they were confronted by Indy and Persia, and they, you know, wanted a favor to Indy and Persia. They wanted a match with Pretty Deadly, and they're like, yeah, but not against us, but by our men, because they're trying to get them to be a pair now. And then, go on.
Dude Hudson is fucking tall.
Yeah. So they had some interactions backstage and trying to figure out wardrobe and stuff like that, but it led to the main event of Pretty Deadly defending the titles against Dexter Lumis and Duke Hudson. Pretty Deadly were able to pick up the win.
I'm not sure how I feel about the pairing of Duke and Dexter. I'm not opposed, but I'm not sure how I feel about it yet. I think I need to see a little bit more of it before I make the decision, but the match was good. The match was fine.
Yeah, it was a better match than I thought.
Like, they mixed it up pretty well, and I think as Duke and Dexter get more used to each other, it should be better. Because it's just, like I said, it's just a very odd pairing. Like, that's the best way I can describe it, is it's just a very, very strange, odd kind of pairing.
Yeah. So, we'll see where it goes, but that was a strange edition of NXT, but Spring Break-In is coming up in 2 weeks.
I will say this, I applaud them for doing something very different on the show and taking risks on the show, because I think there's the one thing that has been missed on NXT is that they have been very, very safe with the new launch, and they haven't taken a lot of risks and done a lot of things with characters. And now they're starting to kind of push the envelope with, like, Dollar Store Bray Wyatt,
yeah,
where they're making him more maniacal. They're making him into something, and they're making him shine more so that he can stand up to Bron Breakker and probably get his ass kicked. Although maybe not. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see if he can actually beat Breaker, but you have that. Like, they're doing things with Cameron Grimes. They're doing things with Tony D'Angelo. They're getting experimental again with characters. They're expanding the characters out because I think they're hearing that it's like, we want to know more about these characters. You have our attention. Now do something with it.
Yeah.
Right? So I have to applaud them for the fact that they are doing this level of writing, because it seemed like there for a minute they weren't going to do it and they were just sending people up to the main roster. And that could be the other side to it is, you know, maybe like the feedback coming down from the main roster is, we need people more fleshed out. We need the characters more fleshed out.
Or see at least what they can do.
Or yeah, see what they can do and really put them through their paces a little bit before we make that decision if we want to call them up or not. So I applaud them. I like that they got experimental. It was good. Keep going.
Experimental and developmental. Imagine.
They go together.
Imagine.
But with that, I say we take our first and only break of the evening. And when we come back, we are going to be talking all about Tony Khan and has he lost direction of AEW TV? We're also going to be doing Tweet of the Week, so you don't want to miss it. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. We'll be right back.
To her, there ain't no coming back. Wanna take a run at that? I think she's feeling me. Turn it up a few degrees. My imagination of her body gets the best of me. Oh gosh, she's such a tease. Bitten lips, bruised knees. I'm addicted to her, need her touching me. Cause she got a bad little waist and we tell it.
What is the greatest of all time? Saturday nights. We decide from sports, video games, movies, and even the X-rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the Great and Great Debate, a part of your Saturday night
event.
CB Radio, Saturday night, midnight to Houston. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Every Monday night, once Monday Night Raw ends, the Raw post show goes live.
You want to hear a story? Get the hell yeah!
Join Lindsay and Sir Rockin' as they give their opinions on what they liked.
What?
What they didn't like.
What?
And what left them completely confused.
What?
It's the Raw Post Show.
What?
Monday nights.
What?
11 p.m. Eastern.
What?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's the bottom line. Go Stone Cold Simpson.
Did you know you can use support a creator code ROCKINSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Dwight Hendrickson from Haven, and you are listening to The Rack.
Let's go. Yo. I'm like an addict, do I gotta have it? I ain't even playing, got a really bad habit. If it moves, gotta grab it. Fuse like a magnet, lose, won't have it till I'm doomed in a casket. I ain't playing, got a weird mind. If you work 8 hours, I'ma work 9. If the shit tastes sour, you should taste mine. I'ma stay in power for a long time.
shit up. Nah, I ain't a quitter. Toss me the ball, I'm a really big hitter. Big picture, I'm a straight killer. Rising the song.
And welcome back to The Rec right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RecRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And with that, Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Morgan Garrett. Hey, voice actors. Someone is paying whatever it takes to get you 1 hour of coaching with whomever you want. Who do you choose and why? Kaylee Mills. I want Natalie Portman to punch me in the face. Wait, what was the question? She follows it up. I'm sorry. I want Natalie Portman to teach me how to get punched in the face.
Okay, got it.
Yes, because the Thor Love and Thunder trailer came out and Natalie Portman is jacked in it and she looks really, really good. And the trailer looks really good, so I actually kind of want to see it. It looks cute. They've brought back Himbo Thor, which I think we're all here for.
Okay.
That's all I have.
Hurricane Helms. The flight I'm on just held the main door open to wait for passenger to board, who was in the bathroom vomiting. So if you're wondering why I'm still wearing a mask on flights for the time being, there's your answer. Shrug. P.S. And yes, now we're delayed. Yay. Mickey James. But what's your reason for still wearing that shirt, though? Hurricane. I'm not getting topless for you, Mickey. Not again.
Take a picture, it'll last longer.
And finally, Al Snow. I wonder what chairs think all day. Oh, shit. Here comes another asshole.
That's good.
That's Tweet of the Week.
All right. So we are going to jump right into the rant that Rock has prepared for you. And so I will yield the floor to you.
Okay. So there's been a lot of chatter, a lot of it, about AEW and things that are going on, right? I keep sitting here, and me and Lindsay have had discussions about how AEW's lost kind of direction of what they're doing, and they're focusing on like everything. And it got me wondering, has Tony Khan lost direction of AEW television? Because originally the mission statement behind it all was, well, you know, we're gonna create stars of the future and combine them with the current day and some of the past and produce the best wrestling show possible. That was kind of the plan, right? And they've done that. They've you know, created people. They've started creating stars like MJF and Britt Baker and, you know, the like, and gave them spotlight. Now we're seeing Sammy Guevara and Wardlow get attention. Wheeler Yuta. But while doing all this and trying to make these stars, them the stars of the show, AEW has also fallen down the path of, well, instead of giving this guy and that guy extended time to grow and become massive stars in the main events every week, the TV show always starts to shift the focus. For a while, we had, you know, AEW needs a surprise. Something. I would say for the last 9 months, we've always had AEW has this massive surprise. Oh my god, who's coming this way? And they've leaned on it. Big announcement, big surprise. Keep people's attention, trying to get them tuning in every week. Whether it was the massive debut of Punk, rivals of Brian and Cole, which were game changers, and they did exactly what they needed to do. They took over the television. So whatever they were doing before them kind of really didn't matter, and they reset the direction, and, you know, so-and-so got lost in the shuffle, everyone's gotten lost in the shuffle, and everyone, those guys became the focus. They've also brought in people like Andrade, and Keith Lee, Malachi Black, Buddy Matthews, you name it. They've come in, they've had their moment, and then, well, they became background players. for the company. They really have. Yeah, Andrade gets a main event here and there, but then he goes weeks without really doing anything. Let's think about it. He's doing a group with a bunch of nobodies that Matt Hardy had to give over to him. So Matt Hardy become a face with Jeff Hardy and the Hardy Boys. And, you know, people are like, oh yeah, they're positioned well, but when was the last time Aleister Black or Malakai Black had a moment in the company that made you really talk about him? He went from wrestling Cody Rhodes in a tag match on pay-per-view to being on the pre-show last time around. Got a question for you. Has anyone seen Miro? I know he was hurt, but have we seen him? I think he's filming some TV show maybe. But we went weeks with promos from him, with God and something, and then nothing. Like, legit, nothing. But that's the plan, right? It was all part of a plan, right? That's the direction? But what's the actual plan for AEW television? Is it to be the showcase of new upcoming stars? Or we're putting Sting in main events where he's diving off of balconies over and over again? Because he did that last night, too. It's supposed to be the place where to grow the talent of the future? Or, you know, just to bring in the legends? Or is it the battleground for the Forbidden Door? TM. Whatever that means. I know during the pandemic we had, you know, people come in and out to fill in holes. You had Zack Ryders of the world come in. You've had Eric Rowan come in. You had Impact Wrestling bring in a couple people. You had the Good Brothers. Mainly Impact got more people, more out of it, kind of, than AEW did. Because AEW didn't really want anyone but the Good Brothers. But it was a pandemic era. We gave it, that was a pass. Because it was the pandemic. We gave WWE a pass for their era. This is AEW got it as well. But what are we now? It seems like we're in the era of Tony Khan needing attention. And needing to be, you know, be the talking point of the industry. To make weekly announcements and have major surprises and hype it up through all the podcasts and radio shows and the Twitters. Get all the bots talking. But are we actually talking about AEW television in all this? Are we talking about the growth of Wardlow? And how he's one of the bigger babyfaces in the company? Or are we more focused in on what will TK announce next? Feels like that's what it is. Because Excalibur can run off 17 different things on television. But it's always, but what will TK announce this week? And then we got to Ring of Honor. Back in March, Tony bought the company. Gonna run it on his own. But if it's his own company, why is it all over AEW? Yeah. I know, he says. Yeah, well, I'm trying to give them exposure for when we get the deal. TV deal. How long till we get the TV deal? 3 months? 6 months? A year? Is it, whether it's short-term or long-term, you know, we're just adding more talent and more championships for people to keep up with. But that means when it only matters. Because some weeks champions come out with the belts and some weeks they don't. A couple weeks ago, after he won the title, Willard Yuta didn't have the belt or wasn't even announced as champion because he went on to lose a match. But when he won a match, he held the belt with him. Imagine that. So are we going to see all this talent now from AEW go to Ring of Honor back and forth? Is that what we're going to do? Back and forth? Hey, I worked AEW, now I'm working Ring of Honor? Because he said there would be some crossover. But if it's two companies, why is there crossover? Shouldn't they be two different companies? Shouldn't it be hiring these guys just to put them under contract and wait for Ring of Honor? I mean, you can go and tape Ring of Honor and put it on YouTube. Nothing is stopping you from doing that. Legitimately. You run dark tapings in Orlando. Take down your banners. Let's say AEW and put up Ring of Honor ones. It's not that hard. But if I'm a fan of AEW, do I want to see this Ring of Honor crossover? Because for me, I don't. I don't want to see Jay White or Dalton Castle on AEW. Unless they're AEW talent. I don't need to see people being brought in. Because I want to focus in on people that are part of AEW. Like MJF becoming world champion. So, we talked about it in the news. Why should I, a fan of just the AEW product, be excited for AEW versus New Japan? Especially on pay-per-view, when I'm going to see a match between AEW and New Japan this Friday on Rampage. Shouldn't that just be safe for pay-per-view? And I know I've heard that there's going to be another AEW vs. New Japan match on some New Japan show. And the IWC, if this was WWE, when they do Raw vs. SmackDown matches before Survivor Series or right after. But I thought Survivor Series is the only time they can collide. Why aren't you complaining that that's happening? Because it's fresh and new? Because it's two different companies? I don't know. To me, as an AEW fan, can we just get back to focusing in on what AEW is supposed to be? And actually go focus on MJF, the women's division. Finally give Jungle Boy a title shot and let him earn a singles title because God knows he deserves it. Give me something more with the women's division than one match in the same promo cut by the same person every week. Stop focusing in on Minoru Suzuki versus Mojo. No matter how good it was or wasn't, it was an ROH title in the main event. It's like Booker T and Buff Bagwell fighting for the WCW title on Raw. It doesn't mean anything if it's not on the pro show. It should be on. And Tony should, you know, we should go a couple months without a surprise or a big announcement. Let's see what AEW actually is. Because to me, it feels like it's a whole hodgepodge of all these things. And it's not really AEW. It's just pro wrestling slapped with an AEW name on it. That's just me, though. I'm good.
Okay. I just want to say this as an outsider looking in. I don't, like I said at the top of the show, AEW is not my thing. I've watched it. I've tried to watch it. It just doesn't appeal to me. So, to me, the notions of them crossing over with New Japan, that doesn't necessarily interest me. And some of the other things, some of the other announcements, some of the other surprises that Tony has, which he seems to have them at a frightening regularity, don't necessarily appeal to me either. As somebody looking in and potentially being interested in the product, what I see is kind of what Rock talked about before, which was Tony needing attention. Tony looking for attention. Tony relying on surprises to pop a rating. Because, you know, ratings are the big thing. The demos are the big thing. Everybody talks about the demos and ratings with AEW, and they're out like that when the next day. And you see what the show did. And you can see that Tony knows how to pop a rating with a surprise, right? He knows how to get people to tune in. And then what happens is the very next week, the rating drops.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Tony sees his ratings going down, his automatic instinct is to say, I have a big surprise, or I have a big announcement. And then he has a big announcement, you know, like he bought ROH, which is a really big deal. It's a huge deal.
Yeah, I'm not discounting anything as not being a huge deal. It's a lot, though, because you should let the show focus on what you need to become, it to become, and that's what's confusing about it.
Oh, yeah, no, I agree with that, but I can't speak to that fully because I don't watch the show, but as somebody looking in, that's Tony's go-to. It's like the Lights Out debut that he got mocked for, where he debuts everybody with a Lights Out gimmick.
Yeah.
It's that same kind of, he has a go-to bag of tricks that when he sees his ratings going down or he needs attention or he needs something, he goes into that bag of tricks and he pulls out a big surprise or he pulls out a debut. And to me, I've seen a huge influx of talent go into AEW to the point that now we're seeing people not have their contracts renewed. We're seeing people who were there from day one get let go because they never made it, because they don't have a big enough impact on the company, because they weren't able to get over, because they're just not that interested in them anymore. They're sitting on the bottom of the roster. They're taking up space that Tony wants for someone else. And Tony has very steadily stacked his roster with ex-WWE talent, where he has picked up the likes of like Aleister Black, Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, Bobby Fish, Samoa Joe. Like, he's picked up really good quality names that he has sitting on his roster. And I understand that part of the plan is he's going to buy ROH. He's going to launch ROH as a secondary company. He needs talent for the secondary company. So he has to fill his roster up with talent to fill out that ROH roster. And some of the talent's going to cross over. Some of the talent I think is not going to cross over, but I don't know. But I see this huge influx of talent, and I see the introduction of ROH into the AEW product. And to me, it's like, so where is your focus? Because I see, like, I see the results online and I see all this stuff going on online. And to me, it's like his focus shifts like once every 3 to 4 weeks. Like, it's almost like he has a new toy, he plays with it, he gets tired of it, he casts it aside, and then he moves on to the next thing. It's like, and it almost, in a way, kind of seems like that with the AEW product, which, when your ratings are not growing, they're kind of stagnating right around 1 million, which is a wonderful number, and they're performing very well in the demo, which is, again, wonderful for them. But when that's going on and your ratings are kind of stagnating and you're not growing, and then on top of it, by all accounts, advertising is a very hard thing to sell with AEW because of the content, that's not a wonderful place to be when Warner is merging with Discovery and Discovery is looking to cut money. Like, the new CEO of Discovery, Warner, has to cut, what, $30 billion out of the budget?
And they just launched CNN Plus and it's already being destroyed.
they're already axing it because they're like, it only has 10,000 viewers a day. It's not worth it. Boom, it's dead.
And it only launched like 2 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. It's not performing the way we want it. Kill it. Like, that's how cutthroat they're going to kind of be about this. And so you don't want to be in a weakened position. And I'm not saying that Tony or AEW is, but they're not growing and you can't really sell advertising for them. So is it something that now Tony's going to Warner and saying, hey, I have another wrestling product for you. You know, it's ROH, which he picked up off of Sinclair. It was essentially a dead brand when he bought it. Let's all be honest. It was a dead brand because it had gone out of business. And he's like, I'm revamping it. I'm redoing it. I'm, you know, doing all these things to it. I have all this great talent and I want a TV deal for it. And if you're Warner, you're sitting there and you're kind of looking at what Tony has in terms of TV now, which he has 3 hours of TV content. Dynamite is performing well in its slot and its demo, but you look at Rampage. Rampage is not performing that well. It had under 500,000 this past week, I think.
And but that was outside its normal slot, but it's been fluctuating downward over time.
So it's having kind of performance issues. It's still getting an audience. It's still doing well in the demo, all of that stuff. But like, if you're Warner and you have Tony coming to you with ROH, you have to wonder if they're kind of sitting there going, well, what about your first product? What about the product that we initially bought for you or bought from you? We're sitting here and we're looking at it, especially year over year. They're down year over year. And granted, part of the comparison is that was right when they debuted CM Punk, when they got their highest ratings. So it's not a true, I mean, it is a true accurate comparison, but you look at where the product was a year ago versus where it is now, and they're down.
We still have some time for Rampage, but yeah, it's going to be down.
So it's like, I don't know if that's the smartest thing to do. Like, for me looking in...
Let me ask you this. From you looking in from the outside looking in, right? What do you see more of? Tony Khan announcements or storyline tweets?
Tony Khan.
That's the problem. More people talk about the WWE product and what's going on, name changes aside. There's a lot more chatter about what's going on the television shows, good or bad, than there is for AEW. Yeah, during the show, yeah, they're talking about stuff that's happening and praising it and all that stuff. But once that happens, the next thing, 6 days, not talking about it. It's all about what TK is going to do next. And that's the issue. Stop making it about you, making it about your product, and see what you have. Because every time you roll in a new announcement, you're changing, you're not giving what you're actually promoting a chance to actually be promoted. More people are worried about what you're going to do than what's actually happening on your show. And that's where the focus needs to stop. Go back to being about AEW, because that's what it was originally. Like, what was going on the TV show. And then the pandemic hit, and then, you know, it's announcement, 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 and then trying to get hype, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, going back to kind of Tony taking over, even Cody admitted this, that Cody being the public face of the company was probably not the best idea. He wasn't mature enough to handle it at the time. He shot off at the mouth quite frequently and kind of made an ass out of himself more often than not. So they kind of pulled back on Cody and they started to send Tony out more, and Tony gradually became more of the public face of the company because Tony at the time was much different. And then I think he got a taste of fame. He got a taste of everybody loving him and praising him and calling him Booker of the Year, and he's the savior of professional wrestling, and he's all these things. And I think Tony's ego started to inflate.
Yep.
And I think a lot of what we're seeing right now with Tony is just ego. Like, it doesn't make him a bad person. It doesn't make him a bad booker. But I think just like that you look at him a year ago versus you look at him now, and he's kind of intolerable in a lot of ways because it's just all about him. It's all about ego. It's like, you know, the whole Twitter bot debacle where he's like, we're paying for an independent study and, you know, we found that like most negative tweets are just bots that are hitting the algorithm or whatever. And it's like, well, the only reason that you would be paying for that study is if you're doing like a marketing survey of your social media or of your advertising prospects, or you're just doing a marketing study to determine how best to market your product. And that came up in the study.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't be doing just a marketing, or you wouldn't be doing just a survey of Twitter to determine your information. Typically,
when you get that level of detail, it's part of a larger research study that's typically associated with marketing or your product in general. So whatever that's from, they're looking at their business prospects for something. That's what that is. That's what that told me when I saw that. But like, I wish it was less about Tony, because it's, for me, and part of what ruined it for me with AEW was some of the fans, because they're just absolutely obnoxious. And I jokingly say that, you know, they drink the Kool-Aid. Because
they clearly do.
Because AEW can do no wrong. Everything AEW is perfect. It's wonderful. It's great. You know, it's all these things. And they do a lot of really good things. From what I've seen, from clips I've seen, stuff like that, they do some good stuff. They also do a lot of really bad shit. And people are not willing to call them out on that. And it's like, look, call a spade a spade. You know, when it's bad, say it's bad. But they can't do that. And it's just really, there's just a level of obnoxiousness and ego that I don't really like. And then also to just kind of be flat out told, hey, this isn't for you. Mm-hmm. You're not a dude. You're not in the demo that we want. They want 18 to 44 and you have to be a man. Okay. All right. Well, then I'll go watch something else. Like that was another thing that I think is also hurting them, is that originally it was all about that male 18 to whatever demographic.
Still is. That's their highest demo. That's what peaks them over, because women are not that high for them.
Because they're not marketing it to women. Mm-mm. They're not going for that market. And if you want to grow, you need to expand to other demographics. That is, why do you think WWE is the way that it is? Is that they appeal to multiple demographics, multiple age ranges. They still shoot for that key demographic, which is 18 to whatever, but they're shooting for men and women. They're not just shooting for one. And AEW is kind of always sort of hold themselves into that one singular demographic, not understanding that women watch professional wrestling too, and there are actually quite a few women that enjoy your product. And you know what? I bet you could get more if you just marketed it to them a little bit better, or you appealed to them a little bit more. But they don't want to do that. And I think that's what's hurting them as well, is it's, no, this is the way that they're going. And so now they're stagnating a little bit. At least to me, that's what I see looking in from the outside. I think the product, from what I've seen, has improved somewhat just in terms of presentation. I still don't want to watch it.
So there you go.
There you go. So there's that. So I think we're done. What do you think?
Yeah, I think we're done after that.
So you asked us to plug, so plug away.
Which means Saturday night, midnight edition, another edition of Seabreeder, SeabreederLive.com, GreatTheGreatDebate.com. Before that, we'll be Fortnite with Friends. Sunday night, it's WTR Sunday Night, Wrestle Talk Radio. They're going to be talking all about AEW vs. New Japan and kind of booking the show. So tune in 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday night's Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, facebook.com/WildTalkRadio. We'll be live next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Get the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Rock Radio Show, it's Amazon Music, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, you know, wherever you get it, that's how you get it. It's Rock Radio Show on all social media platforms. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. You can support the channel by clicking that purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use creator code ROCKETSOCK or
Lynn's M. Ward
in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store. Why?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of social medias at Lynn's Ward, LNSWRD. You can follow my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/Lynn's Ward, where I stream Fortnite and Genshin Impact. So go check that out. You can check out my old YouTube content, or not my old, but my YouTube content, which has my VODs on it. And you go to linsward.rockradioshow.com or just look for Lynn's Ward on the YouTubes for that. And don't forget to check out our very fine sponsor, mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rock right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will see you next week. Till then, bye.
Time to stay strong, need to move on to be what I want. I'll keep dreaming on. Time to stay strong, need to move on to be what I want. I'll keep dreaming. We'll be right back.
WildTalkRadio.com.